exclusive Across the Sky Racing Network.
I'm Sarah Warmby. World leaders have offered their support to help find Australian tour guide Alex Sigley missing in North Korea. The 29-year-old from Perth last communicated with relatives on Tuesday before going silent on social media. Prime Minister Scott Morrison has spoken with Mr. Sigley's family from Osaka, where he attended the G20 summit and discussed the issue with world leaders. Theories about Mr. Sigley's disappearance range from him being held prisoner to a state-ordered media blackout to stop him communicating with the outside world amid heightened political tensions. Jodie McKay has won a hotly contested ballot to become New South Wales' new opposition leader. The Strathfield MP won just over 60% of the vote against COGRA MP Chris Minns yesterday following a month-long campaign. She secured 29 votes to Mr. Minns' 21 in the caucus and received 63% of the rank-and-file votes. Labor's Daniel Mookhey says it's an historic moment.
It did take a bit of time, but well worth it, because in truth, Jodie McKay has now been elected the leader of the Labor Party with the widest franchise that the Labor Party's had for at least 80 years.
A man is fighting for life after falling off a cliff near Adelaide. The 27-year-old from Athelstone is thought to have fallen about 25 metres before police found him unconscious shortly after 4 yesterday afternoon. His car was found nearby and he's been taken to the Royal Adelaide Hospital with life-threatening head injuries. A man has been charged with arson after allegedly burning down his house in Queensland's Darling Downs region. Police say the 38-year-old was reported missing after his home west of Warwick burnt down shortly before midday yesterday. He was found unharmed hours later and is expected to appear at the Warwick Magistrates Court tomorrow, charged with arson. A 49-year-old disqualified learner driver who allegedly swapped seats with a passenger as his moving car was pursued by police has been released on bail. Police yesterday said the man was seen behind the wheel of a Mercedes that cut in and out of traffic near Rydalmere on Thursday morning. As officers attempted to follow the moving car, the driver and female front seat passenger changed places in the car shortly after stopped in a bus lane. The man faced Burwood local court on 7 charges and was granted conditional bail to appear at Parramatta local court on August 8. The G20 summit in Osaka has ended with lofty language from powerful world leaders, but was eclipsed by US President Donald Trump, who agreed to restart trade talks with China. The BBC's Rupert Winfield-Hayes has more.
The trade war between China and the United States is not over, but for now, at least, it is not about to get worse. Donald Trump said he and President Xi Jinping had agreed to return to negotiations, but he would not lift tariffs. He also said China had promised to start buying large quantities of American agricultural products. But the US president also appears to have made a major concession, agreeing to allow US tech companies to sell products to Chinese tech giant Huawei.
Briefly, hundreds of firefighters brought wildfires under control in southern France as a stifling heatwave brought record-breaking temperatures to parts of Europe, killing at least 6 people. And Italian police have arrested the German captain of a rescue ship with 40 asylum seekers on board. This is Air News. Sydney face an AFL ruck crisis in the wake of Callum Sinclair's dislocated shoulder, which overshadowed yesterday's resilient 42-point win over the Gold Coast at the SCG. The Swans' first goal in the low-scoring scrap didn't come until the 15th minute, but they showed enough desperation, led by co-captains Josh Kennedy and Luke Parker in the middle. The hosts busted the turnover-laden contest open with 4-1 in the third term, eventually prevailing 14-9-93 to 7-9-51. The Bulldogs, Kangaroos and Eagles also posted wins. The Newcastle Knights have beaten the Brisbane Broncos 26-12 at McDonald Jones Stadium. It's the Knights' 7th NRL win from the past 8 matches. Coach Nathan Brown says it was a good turnaround after last week's loss to Melbourne.
I thought we started the game with plenty of energy. There was a few shuffles with the team. Guys seemed to handle that well, and yeah, it's pleasing to, you know, had a good run and then to turn around and come and get another result so quickly was good.
Wins also to Parramatta and Manly. Charles Leclerc has put Ferrari in pole position for the Austrian Grand Prix, qualifying ahead of Lewis Hamilton in second and Max Verstappen in third. Australia's Daniel Ricciardo qualified 12th for Renault. MotoGP rookie Fabio Quartararo has taken his third pole position of the season and second in a row at the Dutch MotoGP. And in the Super Rugby, the Crusaders beat the Hurricanes 30-26. Australian Independent Radio News.
afraid. I'm leaving you. I know you've always been so good to me. You're always there when I need you. And the fact is, I still really love you. But, this is so hard. I have to move on. The guys are already on the beach.
Hate saying goodbye to your radio? Download Radio App on your phone and take your favourite station anywhere. Radio App, free from the App Store and Google Play.
Your next bet is as easy as 123 or 213 or 132 or 231. Or the Tabs made 123 even easier with the new Trio. When you have a Trio, it doesn't matter what order your horse has finished. Simply pick the first three in any order to win. Plus, you can now see your approximate payout at the time you place your Trio bet online or via the Tab app. Try a Trio today and make 123 easier. Tab, who are you backing?
Available to STAB and New South Wales Tab customers only. Gamble responsibly.
Great value stallions and attractive all-inclusive breeding packages are the feature of Coringle Stud in 2019. Coringle is delighted to offer multiple Group 1 producer Magic Albert, who has close to 70% winners to runners and progeny earnings of more than $48 million. Magic Albert stands alongside exciting stallion prospect Prized Icon and Group 1 sire Dewport, as well as the Brothers War. For more information, contact Angus Lamont on 0429 842 875.
Your family deserves to be safe and secure at home. That's where Wideline Windows and Doors can help. Their secure line screens offer security without compromising on design or your view. And their safe line window screens are designed to prevent falls, keeping your youngest family members safe and sound. For security, safety and peace of mind, call Wideline Windows and Doors. Or visit their website at www.wideline.com.au.
Controversy on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Here's Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
Say it every week, I'll say it again. I hope you're having a great start to your Sunday morning. I know we are here in the studios in French's Forest, going all around this great nation of ours, who, by the way, hello to all our New Zealand brethren.
Nice little win at Lord's Day tonight.
Lovely. A panel operator, Hamish, said, "Oh, g'day, Hamish. Any idea how the cricket finished up?"
Very quiet.
Yeah, very quiet. Thank you, John. How'd the cricket go? And he said, "No, I haven't heard." 86 runs, I think, was the final margin. Pretty comfortable in the end. He's a freak, Mitchell Starc.
Five wickets. 24 so far for the World Cup. 7 wickets more than the next most successful bowler. He is having a tournament and a half. And didn't Nathan Lyon bowl well?
Ladies and gentlemen, in case you hadn't realised, that is the voice of Ray Thomas, who was away last week, but has been kind enough to grace us with his presence this Sunday morning. What was on last week, Roman?
It was my daughter's birthday.
Right.
So,
took some time off. No, fair enough.
It's on the Saturday night, and it was a good night.
Enjoying yourself. Did you sleep in on Sunday?
I didn't. I listened to your dulcet tones.
Oh, that was the next question. Did you ever... say 10, let's flick the radio on, or
10 was asleep, me.
Yeah, right.
But who won the quiz last week? I didn't hear that segment.
Now, mate, I don't know why you even look at me like that with a blank look on your face as if to say you don't know what happened.
I can see it written there.
No,
13, Ray, 12, Jimmy. I'm in front.
I would have thought the first thing, the very first thing that you understand out of last week's show is who won the quiz.
Dave Stanley, you're a good man.
Dave Stanley, somehow. Has snuck through. This is now the 26th Sunday.
Okay. Yeah, but just back to the World Cup, the other significant match overnight, apart from Australia's win against New Zealand, obviously both teams... New Zealand almost certain to make the semi-finals. They need to get one more win to be certain, but they'll be there. Pakistan did eventually catch Afghanistan. Took them until two balls to go to get the 230 required, but it was a significant win for Pakistan. It puts them above England. England had this crunch match against the unbeaten India tonight. So the English press, English fans, English commentators, etc., really starting to turn on the English, who have been the dominant one-day side for 3 or 4 years, Jimmy,
yes.
And all of a sudden,
yes,
the World Cup, which was theirs to lose... It's unravelling at the moment.
Interesting to know who it was that said it, and I'm just trying to think. Something I heard during the course of the week is that they only have one gear, England. They have this all-out approach where 400's a target.
And there's even talk pre-tournament that some team could potentially nudge the 500 mark.
Yeah.
But it's just turned because English pitches, English bowling, World Cup pressure, outstanding bowling, and all of a sudden a score of 300-plus... It puts you in the box seat if you bat first.
And we saw it last night, didn't we, with Australia scoring 244, and that was well and truly enough on a wicket that was a little bit up and down at the home of cricket. We'll take your calls on that, 13:53:53. Are you enjoying the Cricket World Cup? The time zone's perfect, isn't it? Absolutely perfect for cricket being played in England. Thoroughly enjoying that one. Yeah, big games remaining. England v New Zealand, England v India, Pakistan and Bangladesh, Australia, South Africa.
Yeah.
So we'll
England
get
India tonight, so crucial for
that.
England.
Tarek Sims, does he deserve to miss State of Origin 3? The decider, I tell you what, it was an interesting toing and froing between Paul Green and Paul McGregor.
What's your take on that? Because Tarek Sims' arms were going around Michael Morgan, so was it just an unfortunate accident?
But where does he hit him?
Yeah, but it was just an
unfortunate.
Yeah.
Especially
so is
Michael,
that Tarek Sims'
especially
fault?
Especially for Michael and the Cowboys, who were in control of that game up until that point.
Was it Tarek Sims' fault, though? And he had his head turned sideways. He just trying to affect the tackle, so he wasn't actually looking directly at Michael Morgan. He'd have an idea where his head was, etc. But
is this the defence that you're putting up for the Dragons and for the New South Wales side? Is
yeah, yeah, okay, fair enough.
No, but
I'm asking a serious question because I think there's a bit of a grey area there.
Oh, of course there is, and grey matter is a big issue that's been talked about during the course of the week, and Paul Green mentioned it in the press conference, protecting your playmakers, and it is clear, having called that game for a rival radio network... as soon as he went off the field, they were a different side, the Cowboys, and the Dragons get home on the back of it. So it was a game-changing moment. The Cowboys saw no benefit in it. So Tarek Sims wasn't even penalised on the day. He was not even penalised. They packed the scrum.
They packed the scrum, play
and
on.
The Dragons
would
play on. So the problem with it is this. Here's the greatest problem for Tarek Sims and the Dragons. He hits him in the head. Whether he was looking at him, whether it was intended, whether he hits him in the head.
But is that... that just an unfortunate byproduct of the game we
most
play.
Most unfortunate.
And so is it necessarily Tarek Sims' fault? That's my point. I don't think it is.
He will definitely go to the judiciary. We know that.
I think he might get off. But what's your position on the George Burgess incident? He'll find out his fate on Tuesday night, re that, well, alleged eye gouge on Robbie Farah. It looked ugly, Jim.
Terrible. Absolutely terrible. I don't know what on earth he was thinking about it, because it looked like the second movement, didn't it? It was the... First of all, okay, your hand ends up on the face of the tackled player. That can happen. That can happen. But where's the second effort come from? When you know... You can feel where you... You know exactly where your hands
are.
You know you're on soft tissue there with the eye. It's... And the incredible thing about it is it's the second time he's done it within the course of 12 months after doing the same thing to Dallin Watene-Zelezniak in the Test Series.
It's bizarre. The rest of the season they're talking? 10-12 weeks potentially?
So we're at round 15 now. We've got round 25. So, gee, I think that's... I think till semi-finals. Yeah, I'm comfortable with that. Here's the problem. Josh Maguire has been fined twice for a similar action. May not have been as severe,
yeah,
but therein lies the problem, the inconsistencies. you get a fine for tripping, you get a fine for gouging, and someone else gets 10 weeks. That's the problem. That's the problem. So, Graham Annesley, over to you on that one. We need to hear more about it. 13:53:53. Just on that, what did you take on a lot of the talk on CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy?
It's a debate that the game must have, and I'm glad finally we're starting to look at this issue. Because is it?
Can I pull you up there? Not finally. The game's looked at it a lot.
Okay, well, it's a debate now that seems to be more involved with people outside the game as well. It's become a real discussion point, and I'm glad it is, because this is the toughest body contact sport in the world, with the less protection for the players. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah. So how you take this issue forward, I think one of the potential proposals is less body contact at training.
Yes.
Less in tackling drills, etc. As an ex-player, would you be satisfied with that issue? Because I know that there's still definitely there's no suggestion that players want to wear helmets, things like that, in this game. So how do you lessen the impact, Jim?
That's a recent phenomenon too, the amount of contact that players do at training. I finished 20 years ago, we barely did any contact at training.
That's interesting, yeah.
Yeah, barely. Mm. And then it just came in over the course of the last 15 years. But they certainly do a lot more now.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, based on that, the chance for injury.
Of course.
We know that for a fact. And over in the USA, they limit the amount of time, especially high school students have, with the potential to suffer a concussion. The league's doing a lot. The league's doing a lot. Are they doing all they can? Probably not. Are they doing enough? And what are they doing? Are they doing it for protection of players? Well, hopefully. So tick on that.
Protection of the image of the game?
Tick. Are they doing it for protection from liability?
No doubt.
From a legal point of view.
They'd have to consider that, because there's now cases in America where we're seeing these issues come to light. And
well, the NFL has put aside over $1 billion for this very issue.
It is a huge issue.
A lot different to the NFL. In the NFL, a lot of times players were encouraged to knock other players out.
Mm.
And in fact, in the case of the New Orleans Saints, were given financial reward
for doing so. I know, extraordinary. So. James, did we get a look at the potential grand final preview on Friday night, Roosters v Storm? I thought it was an outstanding game between two very, very well-coached sides. Neither defence is prepared to give an inch. They're two very good football teams, aren't they?
If they played first Sunday in October, would you be surprised?
Not at all.
Not at all.
Grand final preview for me.
Not at all.
Yeah.
And the games that they've played this year, a grand total, if you do the for and against, a grand total of 1 point.
Exactly. And I've got to say, Roosters run lucky. Brett Morris passes
just
to
pass
Tupou.
It, Brett.
Tupou's over in the corner.
Brett.
Game's totally different.
Not a winger. Pass it.
But the same
he thought he was on the wing.
Exactly.
Brett.
But weren't the Roosters
pass
brave
it.
In the second half? Very little ball, under siege for most of that second half. Their defence stood up. If you're a Roosters supporter, your total defence is right on track.
Yes.
How many minor premierships now for Craig Bellamy in the Storm?
Oh, minor premiership.
They're 6 points clear now. They've virtually wrapped it up, haven't they?
Yeah, pretty much, because they've got a superior for and against as well, so they'd have to be a four-game swing.
Knock up winning the minor premiership.
He's a freak. He's an amazing, amazing coach. And I've got to say this. If you're the Brisbane Broncos, and we're going into Queensland now and Broncos, what is happening to your football team?
They are going downhill
and
fast.
Did the Anthony Milford experiment at fullback work?
He can't stay there, can he? Surely.
What on earth is... This is... You look at the squad and you think, talent, talent, talent.
Well, I think you're one of many who thought the Broncos were a title chances this year under Seibold, with the talent they had, the young squad of emerging stars.
I don't know whether...
backwards.
Yeah, I'd certainly had them as a top four side.
I think most people did, didn't they?
Yeah, and they are going out back. They're 13th on the ladder now.
Five wins 13th. After 14 games and, well, the finals, they're two wins out of the top eight.
Yes.
But... it's like a slippery slope right now, isn't it?
But it's not like they're... You know, if you're a Panthers fan, you could probably think, oh, we've won four on the trot. We'll probably
there's some
get,
momentum.
Yeah, there's light at the end of the tunnel. No light if you're a Broncos fan. Give us a call. 13:53:53. Racing yesterday, Raymond?
Yeah, the ladies had a good day out. 4-9 wins ridden by female jockeys. And Jenny Duggan rode a double. She's in tremendous form. Just think
isn't
back.
Isn't she what?
We had her on 3 weeks ago when she rode her first Sydney Saturday winner in about 5 years. Of course, she became a mum twice during that period and also had a serious knee injury. But the last three consecutive Saturdays, she's gone crash, bang, well, winners every time. Kathy O'Hara, of course, rode an impressive winner as well. Azzurro won the Stayers Cup, one of only two 3,200 metre races in Sydney each season. Jimmy, the other one is the Sydney Cup.
Yes.
I love watching those staying races, and I had a look around at the crowd watching
it. Can I just ask, given it was a heavy nine yesterday, what was the, you know, really in real terms, they would have run about 4.5 k's, wouldn't they?
Probably would have felt like it. They were slow. 3 minutes and 40 for and change for the 3,200. So
what was the last 600 in?
Tick over 40 seconds.
Ray, I think you could run quicker.
It was a slogathon. Yeah. But I tell you what, I had a look at the crowd. It wasn't a huge crowd there yesterday, but everyone was out there watching the race from the start because they're compelling contests, and you'd love to see more 3,200 metre races. Godolphin's had a tremendous season, James Cummings, and there was Rachel King again, just back after breaking her ring finger in a Barotrol incident a couple of weeks ago. And there she was winning the stakes race, the Civic Stakes on Goolwa yesterday for James Cummings. I think he might just continue to throw her the royal blue colours, because every time he does, Rachel King delivers, Jim.
Right, why wouldn't she? Why wouldn't he do that for her? because she, here we go. We've got a few people wanting to have their say via the SMS as well too. Oh, by the way, the show today, we better run through who's on. Annabelle Neesham's on. She is the stable representative for Azzurro. We're talking about there. Greg Hickman's going to have a come and have a chat. We won't talk rugby league.
We can.
We'll talk a little bit of Top Striker for him. Well done, Lizzie Jelfs, again, $41.
How about Lizzie?
She's on
back
fire.
Back from Royal Ascot.
Well done.
Finds Top Striker in the yard.
Zorb will be back. You know, Zorb, we had him in for an hour last
week.
How'd
he go last week?
Oh, what do you think?
Create a controversy?
Oh, absolutely. On fire. So he wanted to be the Lebanese cucumbers, not the Lebanese cedars. Yeah, the rugby league side's the cedars. He wanted cucumbers. Everyone just held their breath and thought, is that racist? No, that's all, but we can get away. You'll be right. Anyway, it's 2019, we believe. Darren Biedman is going to be the representative of the Blue Army. Event Cinemas quiz, Prakash and the team, I tell you what, they're just... Oh, by the way, Tan, just to let you know, I left the tickets at home. Prakash has come through.
She won't be happy.
Yeah, but not only... This is late-breaking news, too. Prakash has come through for the listeners, and...
Hang on.
That's not unusual. Yeah. May well have looked after the production staff as well, with some little ones on the side, right? Tell you about them off air. Probably should have started doing that. Anyway, from TAB, Gerard Daffy will be here as well. He'll probably be backing New South Wales now, I'd say, in the State of Origin series. He sort of flips and flops all over the place, Gerard.
Well, on that point, Nico from Newey.
Yes.
Morning, men. Ray, please drill Jimmy on whether he's still declaring Queensland for the series win. Mm. Jimmy, give yourself an uppercut.
Mm. Who was that from?
Nico from Newey.
I'll tell you what, Nico from Newey, having backed them to win the series prior to the first game, got a good price too, Roman. I thought, going into game two, I thought...
Money speaks all languages, $1.40.
They're out to 290. They're out to 290 to win the third game. Why they've drift? They didn't open at that. Why are they drifting so much, Raymond? Isn't it New South Wales that's
momentum,
got
the Blues.
All sort of issues
Looks
with
like
Cleary and
well,
Sims?
Nathan Cleary will be named in the team tonight.
Incredible.
That's all the story. Or team out tonight or tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Yeah, well, tomorrow. All the talk is now that Cleary potentially gets a chance to run.
He'll be named,
okay.
Speculation he's running today. Today. And we know... With Nathan Cleary, he'll be diligent.
Mm.
Right, we know. Mark Waugh will be along to have a chat about the Cricket World Cup. He told us Mohammad Nabi couldn't get you or I out. He's taken more wickets for Afghanistan than anyone else. Anyway, we'll have
you
a
won't
chat.
Then forget that.
Oh, we'll have a chat about that. My man Rashid Khan got hit on the head by the bouncer and hasn't recovered. Little one for overnight, but not good enough. Nabi got two for. Tanya with the sports update. Dean Bulldog Richie will give us all that latest news around what's happening in the world of rugby league, especially around State of Origin selections. And, of course, we want to take your calls. 1353 53. We have come up with a talk topic today, and I've got to tell you, it's one of those red letter moments.
Mm-hmm.
Panel operator Hamish has come in with a suggestion. We all start rolling our eyes, and then we stopped because it actually wasn't a bad one. In the English Super League, Joe Westerman, don't know whether you saw it, Hull FC versus Hull KR, 77th minute, dislocates his knee. So what does Joe do?
I think that was my suggestion, actually.
Was it yours?
It was, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Actually, yeah, no, Hamish was about Brad Takarangi.
How quickly you dismissed me, James.
Yeah, see, I'm sorry
straight
about that. You know what?
As this Paramat said, classic James go. Smith.
Yeah.
Coming out swinging hard. Bang, crash, wallet. What a start to the show. Smash Hamish to the boundary, then throw a haymaker at Ray.
Yeah, well, sorry, Ray. My apologies. It was your idea around Joe
right.
Westerman.
But did you see the vision?
Yeah.
It's extraordinary.
It reminded me of Darren Cresswell. Remember
That's
he did it on
the
sideline for the Swans? Just bashed his knee back in multiple times.
Oh, he kept playing.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
So, and so did Joe Westerman.
Mm.
So Joe Westerman, there you go. So that, as a result of that, Acts of courage.
You got one, James?
Yes. I want you to go first.
Cooper Cronk last year, grand final.
Broken scapula.
Yeah.
Broken scapula.
Made a couple of tackles too, under pressure when he had to, but just to be out there and control a team for 80 minutes in what we're talking about, the hardest contact sport in the world, just an outstanding performance.
Roughly, you have about 90 receipts as a halfback and a 5'8" between you, and it's usually 40-50 or 50-40 or depending. You know what the split between receipts, Luke Keary and Cooper Cronk last year in the grand final?
Yeah.
About 80-10.
Fair enough. 80-10. They looked after him.
Oh,
but
he did the job.
His presence on the field, outstanding. Yours, James?
Rick the Snick.
Rick McCosker.
R.B. McCosker. Centenary test. Bats, of course, hit in the jaw by Bob Willis.
Yep.
Steps on his
broken
stumps
jaw.
Out. Broken jaw. Comes in swathed in bandages.
Second innings, yeah.
Bats 10.
Helps Marsh get his 100.
Puts on a vital innings. 25 in the second dig.
What did Marshy get in that second innings? He got 110. Not out. That's right, yeah.
There you go.
And the final score was?
45 runs.
Which was the same as?
First ever test match.
You're all over,
Jim. Raymond, don't we love it? Yeah. 13:53:53. That is our talk topic for today. Acts of courage. We'll take
on the sporting
break.
Field.
On the sporting field. Mm. Why did you need to?
Just in case, man. Just narrow it down and make sure the parameters are correct. Acts of courage on the sporting field.
Acts of courage could be coming home late on a Friday night and
saying, got the excuse for the wife.
Telling the Minister for Defence exactly where you've been.
That's what I meant. Anyway, on the sporting field.
Okay, all right, now I'm glad you've narrowed that down. Acts of courage on the sporting field. Give us a call, 13:53:53.
Lazarus, twice named New Zealand Horse of the Year. Lazarus, also named 3-year-old, 4-year-old, and 5-year-old Pacer of the Year. Lazarus, an Australasian Grand Circuit champion for 2 years in a row. And at the time, as a precocious 2-year-old, Lazarus paced the fastest 2-year-old mile ever down under with a final quarter of 25-1. Lazarus, standing at Yuraby Stud in New South Wales.
Your next bet is as easy as 1-2-3 or 2-1-3 or 1-3-2 or 2-3-1. Or the tab's made 1-2-3 even easier with the new Trio. When you have a Trio, it doesn't matter what order your horse has finished. Simply pick the first three in any order to win. Plus, you can now see your approximate payout at the time you place your Trio bet online or via the Tab app. Try a Trio today and make 1-2-3 easier. Tab, who are you backing?
Available to STAB and New South Wales Tab customers only. Gamble responsibly.
Meet Tom. Tom owns a building company. Business is good, but he doesn't have the budget or the time for remedial management. Then, Tom found Cat Checkpoint, a remedial management system for builders and their subcontractors. With Cat Checkpoint, Tom's team can easily do inspections with minimal or no typing, monitor progress from the comfort of their desks, eliminate dots and endless lists, view subcontractor performance stats, and more, all for an affordable price.
Visit catcloud.biz for details.
Look, I'm afraid I'm leaving you. I know you've always been so good to me. You're always there when I need you. And the fact is, I still really love you. But, this is so hard. I have to move on. The guys are already on the beach.
Hate saying goodbye to your radio? Download Radio app on your phone and take your favourite station anywhere. Radio app, free from the App Store and Google Play.
There's her boyfriend, Jared. They met through this sport of golf, Kari Webb, who gave her that scholarship.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. Of course, that was Hannah Green winning the major, the LPGA Championship, was it,
yep,
Jim?
Yep, Women's PGA Championship.
At Hazeltine. That was her first win on the US PGA Tour for ladies, but a breakthrough major win on a week when Australian women really rose to the fore. Sally Fitzgibbon back to world number one with her win in the surfing. And, of course, Ash Barty rises to world number one and number one seed at Wimbledon this week.
It's amazing, isn't it? What a great story she is. And I know we've spoken about it a lot on this program, the rise and the rise and the rise of women's sport.
Phenomenal.
You weren't here last week, but there was 1.2 million people watched the women's State of Origin game.
1.2 mil.
And I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Good game of footy.
Yeah, it was, yeah. What about the debate about Sunday Night Origin, which seems to be an ideal place to put it, but the TV figures are actually down in the last 5 years, according to our good friend Phil Rothford in this morning's paper, and there is... Is there some debate about whether Sunday night's actually working now for Origin, Jim?
I'll call him Phil Rothfield, but it's a good point that you make.
What are you picking me up on that for? But no, but seriously.
It's a good, like, in theory,
is it on
from
too
a
late?
Schedule point of view, it's perfect.
But is it on too
but
late?
But it's not working.
8 o'clock till 10 o'clock.
You know, well, hang on, what does it work at that time on a Wednesday night?
Yeah, good point, yeah.
And what is it about clear air on a Wednesday night? You know, there's no other sporting event on. There's nothing on at that time on a Sunday night.
It doesn't
night.
Make sense. You would think Sunday night would be perfect.
Maybe there's viewer fatigue saying, look, I've watched my three games of footy, whether it be AFL or NRL. I've watched my three games of footy over the weekend. I sit down and I go to bed early because I want to start the week on a positive, or I make it movie night with the family. On for whatever reason, it seems perfect to me. The numbers suggest otherwise.
But it's also good for the game too, because it gives a bit of clear air for the NRL weekends rather than for player fatigue, things like that. But
from that point of view, it's a no-brainer. However, the TV networks will have their say.
Bring it forward an hour, maybe. I don't know. Okay, race three plays Rose Hill yesterday. We'll go straight into the Stayers Cup. This was a slogathon. Azuro gets home.
Social Element swings five lengths clear with 350 to run. Azuro starting to come home with a pretty serious run now. It's Social Element getting tired and Azuro goes to it. Clear from Dukan and further back to Highbridge making ground. Azuro leads at the 175. Battling away Dukan and then came Highbridge. Azuro 75 out still in front. Kept going Azuro from Dukan trying. But Azuro goes on to win the Stayers Cup. Azuro a half length to Dukan. Not sure about third.
Like they'd run 4.5 k's after that one. Azuro, we'll find a price for him in the Melbourne Cup. We're struggling to do that at the moment. Yeah. Cross counter at $15. Master of Reality. Master of Reality. Tell us about Master of Reality.
Overseas right? horse, Prince of Aaron. So they're all overseas horses. Anthony Van Dyke, Avilius, I doubt would go to a Melbourne Cup. Broom, DXB, all overseas horses.
So here's the problem. Mm. Because you of all people look at that and go, oh, Master of Reality, overseas horse, equal favourite in the, you know, is that a concern for the local punter?
It definitely is.
Yeah.
And that's been a concern for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
And the last 2 years, the overseas trained horses have gone 1, 2, 3 in the cup.
Yeah.
And that's the issue. Australian punters aren't familiar with these overseas horses who are now making up half the field.
No, I don't even know why the VRC is going ahead with their carnival this year, but anyway. Up to them.
Have you got an invite down for the Melbourne Cup?
Funnily enough, not yet.
Yeah, funny about that.
No.
Neither have I, actually. On the race six, Jason Call's got this filly absolutely flying this prep, Riverbird.
ISO Rich moves up to bring it home, Pop now. A length clear from Oxford Tycoon. Riverbird gets going, so does Traumatize. Drakenfels back to the inside. They're right across the track. Riverbird and Traumatize wide out. Traumatize, Riverbird. The clear from Drakenfels. Traumatize and Riverbird. The bird's lifting. Riverbird, the favourite, got home. Riverbird dug and threw it across the post to beat Traumatized and Drakenfels third.
Well, Jenny Duggan was how long between winners on a Metro on Saturday?
Yeah, about 5 years because
5 years, and now she's just going winner after winner, as you mentioned earlier.
Three successive, and a double yesterday.
Riverbird, where, anywhere in particular?
Look, she's already got black type. She was placed as a two-year-old, so she's a very valuable filly with that black type against her name. But look, potentially, Jason Call's got it going so well, maybe might look at a stakes race back end of the winter for her. She's going well enough.
Just looking at Master of Reality there on your website, Roman. Yeah. By Frankel.
Mm.
By
Joseph
Frankel.
O'Brien.
Yeah, there you go.
But that's as you said, that's the issue, isn't it, Jim?
Yeah.
Is these horses are unfamiliar to Australian punters.
Yeah.
They arrive here, most of them don't have a lead-up run.
And
blind.
And you know what, you're betting blind, and not only that, it's up to you then to create the story.
Well, yeah. They're easy to do because you go into track work and they're all there and it's great fun. But do you actually get a handle on them? That's the issue.
Mm.
We'll move on. Civic Stakes, the feature race at Rose Hill yesterday. I was on first hand, but Rachel King on Gore, too good.
To the outside, New Universe in clear running, but still five or six off them. First hand laying it down to Deploy, not much between the pair. Then Star Reflection, Galway running on. Seaway's getting a late gap. It's first hand just in front from Galway. Seaway between them. Galway hits the lead late though, and Galway goes on to win the Civic. Beat first hand. Photo for third, New Tipperary, and Nicky's Gold.
I don't know whether I say the Blue Army is coming. It's here.
Yeah,
they are dominating. We're going to speak to Darren Beedman a little bit later on in the program as well. Seemed to handle the going very well.
Yeah, he's a good wet tracker, Galway. Great ride, Rachel King, and she can do that. And I was speaking to Darren yesterday, and he said the thing about Rachel is that she doesn't make many mistakes in races, and she doesn't have her horses behind other horses where they're trapped for runs. And a great indication was Galway yesterday, as Darren pointed out, always had it in clear air and produced it at the right time. On to race eight, and look, Greg Hickman invariably takes horses to Grafton Cup Carnival each year that compete well. He's got another one all set for a morning next week. Its name is Top Striker.
Wagner's cluttered up a bit, followed by Top Striker, and Zonk is the last one. Goldfinch at the 300 coming to the middle of the track, leads by two on Tonsor. Bonamy takes the inside run, then came Jungle Eyes, Hart Conquered, and Top Striker further out. Goldfinch still in front inside the 200, Bonamy's only plotting. Goldfinch from Tonsor and Top Striker wide out, Hart Conquered trying to go with it. Top Striker goes after Goldfinch, and Top Striker goes home best. Top Striker ran down Goldfinch with Hart Conquered third.
One of three wins for Sam Weatherly, so well done to him. Off to the Ramorny, as you mentioned. No market up for that just now. The 1100 to the 1200, that'll be okay, will it? We can ask Greg about that.
Yeah, no, he's been going well all prep, and I'm glad you mentioned Sam Weatherly. He rode particularly well, yes. He also won the highway on Juliet, and a very good front-running ride on Call Me Royal to bring up a hat-trick of wins yesterday. The Queensland Winter Carnival basically comes to an end now. The Sunshine Coast meeting is the final big race day of the carnival, and I thought there was a really impressive winner yesterday, the Sunshine Coast Guineas for David Van Dyke. Her name is Baccarat Baby.
Shides and Statuesley, Baccarat Baby's been wide, and Zavance down the outside. Zavance out after Baccarat Baby. Shiden's back to third, followed by Jerna Pell. Zavance and Baccarat Baby. Baccarat Baby the inside in front. Zavance on the outside, but Baccarat Baby, she's been wide, but she's strong. She's kicked 2.5 lengths in front. Zavance and Jerna Pell second and third, but it's all Baccarat Baby. Baccarat Baby by 3 lengths. Jerna Pell's rolled through, grabbed second just out of Zavance. Not sure.
Yeah, there's
very good trap wide, still too good.
Yeah, and what was the, was a bottomless 10?
Oh,
it was
10,
New Zealand 10. They were talking about.
Were they really?
Yeah, the punters yesterday were talking about the Sunshine Coast being
pretty wet.
A New Zealand 10.
Hey, just a quick shout out too today at 10 a.m. at Lion Park at Rose Bay. It's Greyhound Adoption Day. Tim Cale, great Australian Socceroo, who's the new Greyhounds ambassador.
Yes, I see that.
Will be there from 11 for photographs and autographs. So if you want to get out there, Greyhound Adoption Day starts 10 a.m. at Lion Park at Rose Bay this morning.
Tony Mestrovic would have been involved in putting that together.
Absolutely,
CEO,
yeah.
Doing a great job there too. Mezzi, former rugby league player, 1353 53. The open line number, just on this one, comes in from Jason. Hi, Peep, surely if Burgess is facing 10 weeks, it was a send-off offence. Hard to argue with that.
Well, it was bizarre.
Overwhelming that, you know, if the video referee got involved in that and said...
Why
I was going to say,
they?
If the video referee got involved in that and said, mate, you can send him off, you can send him off.
Why
in fact, rather
you?
Than you can send him off, send him off, I'd be happy with that.
Why don't they?
That, well,
the rules allow that?
Yes.
Well,
to,
so
well
what were
you
they
give
at?
A recommendation...
Yeah, anyway,
Graham Annesley, there's another question. That's the second question. I'm just writing down a second question for Graham Annesley.
And a couple of SMSs from our listeners re our talk topic. This one is Mitch from Tamworth. I agree with this. This bloke could get a start in nearly every talk topic, but Jeff Harding coming out in the 12th round behind on all scorecards versus Dennis Andres, needing a knockout to win. He does it, epitomises courage, because he got beaten up badly in that Jeff Harding, but he refused to buckle, did he? One of the most courageous fights ever seen. And John Sattler, broken jaw, and a more recent one, Corbin Sims, played out the half of the broken arm, Leanne from Tamworth.
Good one, Leanne. Excellent. Let's go to the open line, because call was there, 1353-53. Adam's on the line. G'day, Adam.
Morning, James. How are you, mate?
Oh, very well. What do you got for us, Adam?
I just ran 10K, to tell you the truth, mate. Yeah,
good job.
I thought I'd give you a call.
You did not.
Derek Redmond.
What's that?
Courage, Derek Redmond on the spiel. He was an athlete. Done the hamstring, James.
Oh,
at the Olympics?
Completely, yeah, in the semi-final.
And his dad came on to help him. That's right.
I thought that was a little bit different. Out of the box.
He was crying, wasn't he? He burst out crying. His dad came
on. That's the one.
And it made him finish. Well, they walked over the line together, didn't they?
You didn't come to the... You came to compete or you came to complete? Was the line on
that? He made a fortune through Nike or something with one of his sayings or something like that. So
yeah.
Another one?
was about 98, I think, out at the place, Campbelltown, I think it was, a Thursday or Friday night game back then. The young James Smith hit the ball up off, I think it was a penalty, about 30 out. Penrith got hold of him and absolutely levelling, knocked him out. Smelling salts on. Bang. James stayed up. Next carry went straight over. Scored under the post. Ran over the top of it. Might have been Brad Fitlaw, I think. I'm getting the whole ass out, but yeah, that sounds about right.
Adam, I need to ask James, do you have any recollection of that moment?
Yeah, he was knocked out.
So here's the problem with Adam's story, and one of many. Thank you very much. And you're right, Adam. You are a little bit different in the stories that you tell. One, 97 I played at West, not 98. Two, Brad Fittler was at the Roosters well and truly by then.
So he's embellished the story a bit.
And there was no smelling salts involved in that. It might explain a lot with the CTE.
Can you recall scoring a try?
I know Adam's a former rugby league player. If you could donate your brain to the study, that'd be fantastic as well. And well done to Mark Carroll, who's donating his brain to the study.
I think he said he was as well.
It's the first time I've ever known Spud to give anything away. So we do appreciate that. 1353 53 is the open line number. Anthony's on the line. Hello, Anthony.
Good morning. Ray, didn't Jimmy give you enough time to give us a replay of Zanaya's win through the week? Probably the most impressive winner all week.
Who was that? Sorry, Anthony.
Zanaya at Scone on Monday.
Oh, gee, did you see it? This has only had two starts in Australia. Three-year-old filly.
Yeah.
I highlighted on News Central on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Won a Taree Maiden.
Yeah.
And won a Class 1 at Scone after three unplaced runs in New Zealand.
Did I see that one last, the
Wednesday
the first
night.
Race? No, the first race
I,
you,
I
showed,
I showed
you showed
you,
me. Yeah, yeah, you
she's
did.
Done
yes.
it again at Scone yes. on Wednesday. And I know you can get carried away with bush form, but this is a million-dollar filly who has now got her race career back on track. Like her to see her. We may see her in Sydney next Saturday, Anthony. She is a gun. Zanaya for the Chris Lee's stable.
Gee, you can improve a horse, can't he, Chris?
He can, he? Well, she's a talent.
I'd like to have a chat about Origin, but quickly, would Kerry O'Keefe going in the open be an act of courage, or would that qualify?
Kerry O'Keefe might say it was.
Have you heard the Kerry O'Keefe story about when Greg Chappell came and put his hand on his shoulder? And he thought, oh, well, Rick's out. I'll be moving one up the order. You know, I think in the first innings he batted 9, so he thought, right, I'll be batting 8. And he said, Kerry, you're opening. I think he nearly fainted when that was a... Anyway,
the courage, yeah.
And Damien Oliver riding week after Jason on Ready Puzzle probably an act of courage as well.
Good point, yeah. Anthony. Yeah.
Unlike Zorba, I'm a big fan of Freddie, but this apology business has gone a bit over the top. I would argue that if Freddie had Jack Jovoyovich for the first 73 minutes of game one, we'd be up 2-0 now rather than coming to Sydney and try to win the... I like his changes and he did fine tune the team, but also he stuffed up in game one as well. I think he's put back to even. I think.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You can't be a genius one week and a dunce the next, or the other way around. There was fault on both sides there. I think Queensland were the much better side in game one, and New South Wales are clearly the much better side in game two. Changes are important. I cannot believe the price for New South Wales and for Queensland in game three.
So if Cleary's fit,
yes,
he'll play, so probably an unchanged team. But if he's not fit, there's been suggestions maybe Wade Graham starts at 5'8", or Jack Whiten moves into 5'8", maybe Latrell comes back into the centres. I'm a fan of Jack Whiten, but did you see his game last night, Jim?
Oh, only the highlights of that match had a function on Roman, but I'll tell you.
It was rocks or diamonds, it really was. On some examples, he was absolutely outstanding. And then other times his handling of the ball was terrible. Rocks or diamonds, big time.
I know he's going to be selected, but if Cleary doesn't play, they've got to pick a specialist halfback. 1353-53, the open line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more.
The only place to catch the very best equine superstars from around the globe,
first time, every time,
is right here, live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
Wideline Windows and Doors can help make your next build or home reno a success. Drop into any showroom and check out their extensive range of quality aluminium and timber designs, all backed by a 7-year guarantee. Any size, any shape, any space. Wideline's experts will help create the perfect frame for your view. There's never been a better time to take a closer look at Wideline Windows and Doors. Showrooms open at Port Macquarie, Broadmeadow, Tuggerah, Rosebery, and coming soon to Liverpool.
Lazarus, arguably the greatest pacer to ever race down under. Winner of a massive 15 Group 1s and over $4 million in prize money. Lazarus, standing at Uribe Stud in New South Wales.
Race the best with the best. Dynamic Syndications invites you to join the people's trainer, Richard Freeman, in a magnificent colt by Scissor Kick. Arrowfield's outstanding racehorse, now exciting new sire. Our colts from Miss Bax, a dual-winning three-quarter sister to four stakes winners, including Accomplice and Given. Join our Dynamic Richard Freeman team in this classic colt. For info, visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360808.
Your next bet is as easy as 1-2-3 or 2-1-3 or 1-3-2 or 2-3-1. The tab's made 1-2-3 even easier with the new Trio. When you have a Trio, it doesn't matter what order your horse has finished. Simply pick the first three in any order to win. Plus, you can now see your approximate payout at the time you place your Trio bet online or via the Tab app. Try a Trio today and make 1-2-3 easier. Tab, who are you backing?
Available to S-Tab and New South Wales Tab customers only. Gamble responsibly.
Inside the final furlong, calculation goes through to a two or three length victory, and he's going to be eased down later on. He's done it in great style. Calculation, Kerry McAvoy, wide margin winners, one by four or five.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, here until 10 o'clock, we've got the Winks book and the Wingman beer to give away today to the best contribution. Acts of courage is what we're looking for. How are things going with the Winks book and the royalties?
I haven't heard, I've been away.
Can I put it to you this way?
Yeah.
You wouldn't have heard if you'd been at home.
Oh, good point, yeah. Good point. Well, yeah, I know it went to print. So I just thought, actually, I should chase it.
Oh, don't worry.
James, you weren't doing my negotiating for me.
There's things for sale. You're just not seeing it. Acts of bravery, Julian Wilson.
This is a good one.
Paddles towards his mate Mick Fanning and a great white shark. Courage or insanity? Jack from Olba.
That's a good one, isn't it?
It's a very good one. Very good one.
Talk about a good one yesterday. Top striker.
I thought you were going to say acts of insanity or...
No, acts of courage. That was courage.
With Greg Hickman.
No, Greg's a good man, and he's got this horse absolutely flying top strike, and I think he's pretty happy with his roosters are travelling at the moment, and Greg's been good enough to join us on the line. Greg, good morning, and, well, firstly, top striker, I know you're thinking Ramorny, so yesterday's run important in that preparation. Gee, ticked a lot of boxes yesterday, Greg.
No, he went very well, Ray, and didn't probably expect him to get over the top of him, but it was run very fast race, and he did a good job there to win.
And much experience on that ground, because very heavy there yesterday, Greg.
Yeah, look, we've always thought he probably could handle it, but didn't really know. But then, as I just said, like, it was plenty pace in the race, and I gave him an opportunity to come to the outside best part of the track, I thought, towards the end of the day. And, he hit the line very strong.
Yeah, Greg, he's a rising eight-year-old, and as Lizzie pointed out yesterday in the yard prior to the race, she's never seen the horse looking better, and he probably hasn't raced better than he has done this prep, Greg.
Yeah, look, he's been amazing in his preparation. As I said before, we did a bit of dressage work with him before he came into the stables, and he had a wing put us up around about the 20th of April, and he just sort of kept his form, and the horse had sort of just marred with bad barriers, so that sort of takes him out of luck, and he doesn't like being pulled around and shoved about too much, and he just sort of he's in control 90% of the time, so his attitude's helped him a lot this time in race.
As well as the claim, what else do you like about Sam Weatherly's riding? A good day for him yesterday.
Sam's a good rider, and I gave him a few months holiday for when he rode something before, can't remember, but when they come back and ride for you again, they always sort of put in their best.
He made mention of that yesterday, didn't he, Greg?
Hang on, what happened here, Greg?
You've got to have your own little rules, haven't you?
Okay. What's even more important is that you enforce them, Greg.
Sorry, what was that, Jimmy?
What's even more important is you enforce your rules.
He's the boss. He's the trainer.
But there's no point having rules if you don't.
Correct.
Look at all the rules in the house for the kids.
Stand by what you think, and everyone's got to do that. So,
You should see the rules we have to operate under under Jimmy Smith in here. Greg, it's draconian, I can tell you. Hey, Greg, you've had some luck at the Grafton Cup Carnival over the years and top striker heading towards the Ramorny. Any of his stablemates might join him on the trip up to Grafton?
Look, there's a couple of maidens there that might go, but nothing's for any sort of major races. But he'll be just our main target for the Ramorny, and the race I would love to win. And we had sportsmen go around it many years ago and got beaten by a takeover target. So it's a race that can have lots of surprises, and we need it for time-honoured country race.
Mm. You got a Perrata update for us?
No, they don't come around every day, Jimmy, unfortunately. But, I mean, our small stable's lucky to have a horse of his ability and come back in enormous and very exciting times as a trainer to be able to have the opportunity to run him in good races and head towards the Everest.
You tell me yesterday, Greg, he put on 4 kilos in a week last week back in training.
Yeah, well, I mean, he sort of hasn't done that before. He's sort of maturing, and where before he sort of, I don't know where it went to, he's always been a very, very good eater, and he's always sort of kept himself fit, but this time in, the weight seems to be staying there, and, you know, I mean, his attitude to be a racehorse is still there, so that's very good.
I've got mates who could do that, 4 kilos in a week. Really? No problem. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, Brett Morris, did he understand that he was playing in the centres and not on the wing, Greg?
Oh, when you've got talented players, you can put them anywhere. And, yeah, I mean, Coach, he's doing his job. He knows what he's doing, and it's a bit like setting a horse for the Everest. He'll have them right grand final day.
Confident tone in that voice, isn't he?
It's a very good point, too. Actually, Phil Gould's come out in his Sun Herald column and declared the Roosters as back-to-back for the first time in 26 years. But, you know, just thinking, Brett, he forgot that he was in the centres and didn't pass
wing.
Daniel Tupou. But anyway, you get that. Yeah, well, they'll be right come semi-final time, Greg.
Well, yeah, no, I wouldn't mind if Uncle Nick could buy Tommy Turbo.
Oh, he can play, can't he, Greg?
Dave, Greg, all you're going to do is upset all the listeners with the salary.
He can fit him under the salary cap, can't he? Uncle Nick will find
from
a
what
way.
I understand, there is a bit of room there in the... well, Cooper Cronk's retiring.
There you
end
go.
End of the year, there's a million.
Yeah, there's plenty of money.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well done yesterday, Greg.
No, thank you very much.
Good luck in Grafton too, Greg. Thanks for joining us, mate.
There he is, Greg Hickman, top striker. Perrata, $8, third favourite in the Everest. Santa Ana Lane at $5, Osborne Bull $7, Perrata at $8.
Yesterday, as I mentioned, Jim, watching the Stayers Cup was a compelling contest. Azuro and Annabelle Neesham from the Kieran Maher stable was there after the race, and she's so nice. I asked if she'd come on the radio tomorrow, as in this morning, and she said, I'll be down at Perisher, but call anyway. She's on a little break, but she's been good enough to join us on the skiing slopes of Perisher. Good morning, Annabelle. And have you gone for a ski yet?
I have. We're on our way up the mountain now. The signal's a little bit in and out, but we'll give it a go.
So, Annabelle, can I just confirm that you have taken our call whilst you're on holiday?
I feel bad about this.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say holiday. It's just a rare Sunday off. So I jumped in the car. I've got a couple of other horse people here. Charlie Duckworth in the front. Cathy O'Hara is driving. A little bit scary in the snow, but hopefully we'll get there.
How is the snow, Annabelle? Is it been much?
We haven't quite got to the top yet, but it looks quite good where we are now. So.
Terrific, yeah. Well, Azuro looked quite good yesterday. He's a tough horse. It was a really testing conditions. It was a heavy 9, probably even close to a 10, but he excelled yesterday, Annabelle.
Yeah, he did. That was probably our only question about going into the race, was whether he'd handle the heavy conditions. He had a bit of form on soft back in France, and I think his placing on Cup Day was on a heavy track, but it wouldn't have been like it was yesterday. Actually, Glenn felt and said he handled it. He said he wasn't actually sure. He did love it, so I think you'd still see the best of him on top of the ground.
And just on Glenn and the ride, I think, well, get your thoughts on it, Annabelle, but I think everyone thought it was perfect until about, what did he say? It's like watching the kettle boil.
Well, I said before he got on, I said, you're on the run for getting beat on Yogi. And he said, I'll try my best. And then, I thought he'd taken off a little bit early, actually. And I could see the stakes and going gang up after him. He's very tough.
Yeah, well, actually, what he actually showed, Annabelle, was a decent turn of foot for a stayer at the back end of a race yesterday, Azura. And Glenn said he was actually surprised how quickly he did sprint.
Yeah, he did, and he sustained it all the way to the line. So, I know it was a good effort, and not sure exactly where he'll go. There is the Queensland Cup. Obviously, they don't get much opportunity to run over 2 miles, and he obviously runs the 2 miles well. So, I would imagine there next to him.
Oh, just losing on that line there, Annabelle. Do we have an understanding of what is in store for Azura?
Yeah, the Queensland Cup.
Okay. And then after that, we got a little bit ahead of ourselves. We like to do that here on a Sunday morning. Annabelle, we were looking at a Melbourne Cup market.
Well, that's okay. What price are you getting?
No, we couldn't find him. But anyway, I think they've got pages and pages of things here, but we'll get to the bottom of it.
Yeah. No, well, that's a long way off, but obviously any horse out here that can run out 2 miles, you've got a dream of that race.
Yeah. Of course you do.
And we won't hold you up, but Kieran and David's transition into Sydney Racing, you look after their Warwick Farm stables for them. It's been a tremendous debut season, really, for the stable, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. Obviously started off small, and we're gradually building on that. We've got some very nice young horses in. We've got quite a lot of yearlings in. But where it's working well, obviously we've got horses based up here full time, but it's working well as well for those horses that are based, you know, a horse like Azura that is actually based down in Melbourne. You know, he can come up and race in Sydney and stay in a system that he's familiar with, and it just helps all around.
Mm. Found him.
Breaking news here.
$201.
What was it?
$201.
If we can win the Queensland Cup with him, it might come in a little.
Could we have a little shekel on that?
Proven stayer, at least.
Proven stayer, absolutely. Ran 4.5 Ks yesterday. that's what it would assume. Annabelle, is there any snow up there, Annabelle?
Yeah, there's
quite. There is.
I think there's where we are. We're not quite at the top yet, but there's enough, I think. Okay. It's not as... Cathy's getting very overexcited by it. Charlie and I are obviously used to skiing in the Alps, but it's not quite that. But it should be fun just for the day.
Fantastic. Enjoy that, Annabelle. I really appreciate your time this morning.
Great. Thanks, guys.
Annabelle
Nesham there, heading to the snow. At the snow. She's used to skiing in the Alps, so sorry about that. I don't know how you're going to go down to the...
I feel bad about that, but...
No, you
don't. She's too nice to say no.
You do not feel bad about it. Look at this one. Acts of bravery. Courage in sport. You, Jim, in the quiz, knowing everyone in the studio is against you. That's from Magic Mike. It's an excellent point, Magic Mike.
See, this is a myth that you continually perpetuate to our listeners.
You're the schmuck.
No. It's one team in here, everybody.
Yeah, and as I say every week, I just wish I was on it. Why does everyone cheer when you win the quiz?
No, you've got a lot of admirers and supporters.
Come on,
out
that's
there.
Ridiculous.
Magic Mike's just one of many.
Acts of bravery. Jimmy tipping the Broncos to get to the finals. Yes, Barnaby. I think the direct quote was, put your house on it. Obviously, gamble responsibly, but if you've got two houses, put one of them on it at least. But anyway, time now to say good morning for the first time to Tanya with scratchings around the nation.
Morning, boys. Morning, everyone. New South Wales racing today is at Grafton and Dubbo. Toowoomba in Queensland and Narra Court in South Australia has been abandoned due to the state of the track. Starting with Grafton, the weather is fine. The track is soft 7. The rail is out 3 metres the entire circuit and there are 28 scratchings. Race 1, take out 8, Crimson Rose, 13, Gillick's Way, 14, Wicked Willie and 15, Zapluck. 8, 13, 14 and 15. Race 2, number 11, Dagoda Fury and 14, Miss Monty, 11 and 14. Race 3, number 15, Say It Ain't So, number 15. Race 4, take out 3, Seen Too Many and 11, Nobody's Perfect, 3 and 11. To race 5, number 9, Invincible Tammy, 11, Dexter Dutton, 12, Paris Crystal and 18, Western Alliance, 9, 11, 12 and 18. Race 6, number 4, M. Shulky, 10, Family Values, 11, Vizirian and 18, Pig and Whistle, 4, 10, 11 and 18. Race 7, number 10, Swoop, 16, Esplanade, 17, Granville Island and 18, Phil's Dream, 10, 16, 17 and 18. Race 8, take out 1, Brotherly Secret, 13, Almas, 17, Josue Tycoon and 18, Handfast, 1, 13, 17 and 18. And race 9, number 2, I'll Miss You, 4, Nisselroy and 6, Mount Buller. 2, 4, 6 from race 9 at Grafton. Dubbo, the weather is fine. The track is soft, 6. The rail out 3 metres from the 900 to the 400 through the remainder and 26 scratchings. Race 1, take out 9, Pure Phyllis, 14, Unsus, 15, Our Nuisance and 16, The Groupie. 9, 14, 15, 16. Race 2, number 7, Enchanted Princess and 14, Vanna Signora, 7 and 14. Race 3, number 15, Is On Song. Number 15, race 4, number 2, Axis, 3, Oneida, 9, Powers Court, and 14, Fine Behind, 2, 3, 9, and 14. To race 5, take out 2, Captain's Legend, 9, Final Crown, 16, Mount Tation, and 18, Ton of Power, 2, 9, 16, and 18. Race 6 is clear. Race 7, number 2, Larynx, 5, Ecstatically, 9, Dad's Blaze, and 15, Humboldt, 2, 5, 9, and 15. Out of race 8, number 6, Who Hit Who, and 13, Royal Abbey, 6 and 13. And race 9, number 8, Chrissy's Dream, 12, Dart Street, 15, Nulo Miss, 16, Slickster, and 18, Craig Lee Max, 8, 12, 15, 16, and 18. Out of race 9 at Dubbo. And up to Toowoomba, where the weather is fine. Also, track is good. Is a good 4. The rail out 2 metres, penetrometer 4.57 and 35 scratchings. Most of them are reserves, so we'll just give the numbers. Race 1, take out 9, Swiftly Mango, and 12, Winnington, 9 and 12. Out of race 2, the emergencies, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 and 17, 11 through to 17. Race 3, the emergencies, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 and 17. Again, 11 through to 17. Race 4, the emergencies, 11, 12, 13 and 14, 11 through to 14. Race 5, take out 3, Real Ego and 7, Boiling, 3 and 7. Race 6, number 5, Accountant and emergencies, 14, 15 and 16. 5, 14, 15 and 16. Race 7, number 3, Super Freak, 10, Massa Biel, 12, Lily Amora and the emergencies, 16, 17, 18 and 19. 3, 10, 12, 16, 17, 18 and 19. And race 8, take out 2, Altazam and 8 and number 10, sorry, Brutus, 2 and 10 out of race 8 at Toowoomba.
Raymond. Heaps there.
Thanks, Dan.
Yes, Raymond, tips?
Tips, Grafton, race 5, number 6, Venazza, into race 9, number 3, Jazzland. Pretty short now at Jazzland, but does look very, very hard to beat. And at Dubbo today, race 2, number 1, Slatey Bay, into race 9, number 1, The Warlord.
Zorba, Darren Beedman, Event Cinemas Quiz, Jared Daffy. That's a big hour coming up next.
I'm Sarah Womby. A staged terrorist event will test how well social media platforms in Australia manage to stop the spread of violent extremist material. And Prime Minister Scott Morrison has put them on notice that if they don't come up to scratch, he'll be coming for them. A task force of social media companies, tech giants and Australian internet service providers formed following the Christchurch attack has laid out how the companies will act against material that shows an actual terrorist attack or violent crime, or encourages people to commit one. The release of its 30 recommendations today comes on the heels of Mr. Morrison convincing the leaders of the world's largest economies to join action against the spread of terrorist and violent material online. Two teenagers have been charged with murder over the death of a man after an altercation in Adelaide's north early yesterday morning. The pair are accused of punching the 46-year-old man outside a hotel at Parafield Gardens. Chief Inspector Darren Felke says anyone with information is asked to come forward.
We do ask anyone who was present at the incident, who may have witnessed the incident, have not yet spoken to police, to please contact Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000. Or report it online at the Crime Stoppers web address.
Visitors have been busted with drugs, including cannabis and methamphetamine, at a Western Australian prison. WA's Justice Department says the drugs were found when officers searched cars arriving at the Warraloo prison east of Perth yesterday. Small amounts of cannabis, methamphetamine, syringes and a yellow powder were seized from four cars and handed to police for testing. The City of Sydney will no longer have to pay $750,000 to a woman who tripped and broke her hip in a pedestrian mall. In a decision that split the three judges, the Court of Appeal has found the council didn't owe Karen Bishop a duty of care after she was injured at Potts Point in 2013. That went against the earlier decision of a district court judge to award her damages of just over $1 million, later reduced to $750,000 for legal reasons. The United States and China have agreed to restart trade talks after the President Donald Trump offered concessions, including no new tariffs and an easing of restrictions on tech company Huawei. China agreed to make unspecified new purchases of US farm products and return to the negotiating table. No deadline was set for progress on a deal, and the world's two largest economies remain at odds over significant parts of an agreement. The German captain of a rescue ship with 40 asylum seekers aboard has been arrested by police after she docked at Italy's Lampedusa island following a 17-day standoff. The captain rammed an Italian border police motorboat in docking the Sea-Watch ship in defiance of Italy's anti-migrant interior minister Matteo Salvini. Mr. Salvini says he hopes the captain will be tried and jailed in Italy.
I have full confidence in the Italian judiciary. Such an act of violence, a criminal act, an act of war like this, that's been seen all around the world, cannot go unpunished because we are not a country that is a servant to anyone.
This is Air News. Ashley Barty has declared herself ready to go as Australia's first Wimbledon top seed in 16 years. Barty arrived at the All England Club under a fitness cloud after taking some time out to rest bone stress in her overused serving arm. But the world number one insists she's primed for another Grand Slam assault. North Melbourne has thrashed Collingwood by 44 points at Marvel Stadium, 11-15-81 to 5-7-37. North Melbourne defender Jasper Pittard says it was a good win against a strong team.
Yeah, well, I thought it was probably going to be difficult to beat the Richmond win, but I think considering where Collingwood's at and, you know, the strength of the side they had in tonight, that sits well on top. It's just we've been building for a month, a bit more probably, and yeah, it just feels like a bit of reward for the effort we're putting in.
In the other games, there were wins to the Bulldogs, Swans and Eagles. New South Wales State of Origin winger Blake Ferguson has scored two tries in Parramatta's 22-16 comeback NRL win over Canberra in Darwin. The Knights have beaten the Broncos 26-12 and Manly have defeated the Titans 30-12. And the Silver Ferns have wound up their preparations for the World Cup with a loss to the New Zealand men's team in the final of a four-team tournament in Auckland. In netball's version of the Battle of the Sexes, the men pulled clear in the second half to prevail 66-54, 2 days after they'd won their first meeting 54-50. Australian Independent Radio News.
The only place to catch the very best equine superstars from around the globe, first time, every time, is right here, live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
Wideline Windows and Doors can help make your next build or home reno a success. Drop into any showroom and check out their extensive range of quality aluminium and timber designs, all backed by a 7-year guarantee. Any size, any shape, any space. Wideline's experts will help create the perfect frame for your view. There's never been a better time to take a closer look at Wideline Windows and Doors. Showrooms open at Port Macquarie, Broadmeadow, Tuggerah, Rosebery and coming soon to Liverpool.
On Sky Sports Radio, the traffic report.
Sydney Metro, fast and reliable services across 13 stations from Rouse Hill to Chatswood. With frequent services, you can just turn up and go. Sydney Metro, a whole new way to move. In the city, we've got one lane closed in both directions on College Street at Prince Albert Road for roadworks. Also in Macquarie Street between Martin Place and Bent Street. And in Mascot, look out for changed traffic conditions on General Holmes Drive between Joyce Drive and Botany Road. Get more for less with the SsangYong Tivoli EX. 7-year warranty, 7-year roadside assist and 7-year capped price service menu from $22,990 drive away. Yes, SsangYong. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Coringle Stud introduces the outstanding stallion prospect Price Icon to stand his first season in 2019. Price Icon won or placed in all seven of his starts at two, including winning the listed Fern Hill and Group 1 Champagne Stakes before an emphatic victory in the BRC Derby. He's a winner of more than $2.1 million in prize money and a clone of his champion sire More Than Ready. Price Icon will stand at an introductory fee of $11,000 and all-inclusive packages are available. For details, visit coringlestud.com. On the Big Sports Breakfast, interstate weather.
Firstly, Sydney today heading for a partly cloudy day and a top of 23 degrees. Melbourne partly cloudy and 19. Brisbane showers about, top of 26. Perth, occasional showers and 22. Adelaide, beautiful winter's day, sunny 24 degrees. Canberra, mild and 21 degrees, sunny day in Canberra. Hobart, partly cloudy, 19 degrees. And Darwin, as always, warm, partly cloudy, 34 degrees.
Munster, keeps it in the hands for Kenny.
Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Second hour on now. Zorba very shortly. Darren Beedman as well. Event Cinema's quiz score update.
Is it 13-12 my way?
Give it.
Dave Stanley just helped me out there last
Absolutely.
Week.
Absolutely. He's won twice now
Good
in
man,
your absence.
Good
I'm
man.
Not saying he's a bad man, but I'm just saying he's won twice in your absence.
Therefore,
Jared Daffy from the Tab.
He's the first and only reserve.
That's 1957, we're looking Acts of Courage today, the Winx book and the Wingman beer. Acts of Courage, 1957-58 tour of Australia. English rugby league captain Alan Prescott played two-thirds of a test match with a broken arm. No replacements back in those days. And you just had to play on. So that comes Ron from Port Macquarie. So good nomination there, Ron. We're talking about the Australian victory by 86 runs over New Zealand in the Cricket World Cup yesterday. We're talking about Tarek Sims. We'll get Zorb's thoughts on that. The dangerous contact charge could see him out of the Origin decider. Clemmer will be in based on what we saw yesterday as well. I don't think there's any surprise around that. And George Burgess referred directly to the judiciary. We're just wondering what that penalty might be that is handed down. 1353 53 is the open line number, and we will take your thoughts on all of those topics. Let's get to the man who's without fear or favour, says what he believes, and of course we had him for the hour last week, and he was dominant through the middle of the field there, just as you would expect. G'day, Zorb.
Morning, Jimmy. Morning, Ray.
Morning, Pete.
Tarek Sims, 2 weeks, grade 2, 300 base points. Does he play Origin or not?
Well, first of all, I'm amazed that there's a charge. It was clearly seen by the referee, the assistant referee, it was, when he slowed it up, it perhaps had something you could look at, but in real time, I didn't think it was a problem, and I was amazed that that he's been charged. Look, I'm all for cleaning up the areas of concern, which are the crusher tackle and the hitting of dominant key players kicking the football or passing the ball and turning their backs and then being hit. I'm all for suspending those sort of players, but I don't think Tarek Sims is guilty of anything.
Well, this is where we differ. I think maybe a grade two is a little harsh, but there's no doubt that he hits him in the head. There's no doubt he was a key playmaker. There's no doubt that changes the whole course of the match.
Well, you sound like the whinging Cowboys coach, Paul Green.
Well, now, hang on a minute.
Like he's under real pressure. He's protected. This is the same guy, and probably you're in the same boat,
but he's protected
Josh Maguire over the last few weeks. And I don't think that looks very good when you come out and then criticise a player in an opposition team. Just leave it to the officials.
Did you hear Paul Green's press conference?
I did.
Yes, and he was very reticent. He just said, look, I haven't looked closely enough at the incident, but...
That's what he said late in it. At the first part of it, he said, yes, I'm concerned late, and this is what we've got to get out of the game. He actually lightened off after he realised what he'd said.
Mm.
And I think Paul McGregor was right. He said it like it is, suggesting Green should zip it. You know, I, as I said, personally, I couldn't find anything wrong with a tackle by Sims. I differ to you, Ray.
Mm.
Jim. And the fact that he's got a case to answer, I'll be surprised if he gets suspended.
Yeah, well, watch his space. Unfortunately for George Burgess, though, I think he obviously has a case to answer. How long is he looking at, do you reckon, Zorb?
Well, they're going to throw the book at him. Mm. He could get up to 10 weeks. South's winning 7 in a row, they hardly needed a player to be out in the games coming forward, and Burgess is going to be that player. They've now lost 4 in a row.
Yep.
See, they're looking shaky through Origin. Sam Burgess out. They lack authority up front, and they couldn't finish strongly enough. They were gutsy, and they were brave against the West Tigers on Thursday, but late in the game, they just couldn't compete.
Why was it so slippery at Bankwest Stadium?
Well, that's a terrible problem with such a beautiful ground.
Yeah.
And it's fast becoming a place you don't want to play at night. Even the home teams don't want to play there. I think the grass is too long. Well, I think the best surface in the NRL week after week is on the Gold Coast with Cbus Stadium. And it's as tight as could be. You've called plenty of games there, Jimmy, and it's cropped to within a very short length of grass.
Mm.
And players get a good foothold there. It's fast, even with rain. It's still in good nick. It drains well. I think for all the money that's been spent on the new stadium, there should be some sort of early inquiry into why it is so dodgy at night. I mean, it looks too long. Maybe the curator could cut it back a bit, but there is definitely a problem there. I mean, that was a bugger of a game on Thursday night. West Tigers 14, Rabbitohs 9, and it's not winning any favours with the players in night games. That's for sure.
Yeah, good point. In contrast, Orb, Friday night's game between the Storm and the Roosters, gee, it was a compelling contest. That second half, two very well coached sides. Two outstanding defensive units. They're the teams to beat this year, Zorb.
Well, there's no doubt about that. And history shows that the loser of this game in the last 2 years has gone on to win the comp. I think the Roosters probably have come out of the game with confidence. The Storm, they took a giant step towards yet another minor premiership with a 14-12 win.
Yeah.
But even though they're 6 points clear, and they're having another consistently outstanding season. They scored a lucky try off rebounds, like a ping-pong rebound just before half-time, and then they defended strongly to hold out the Roosters. But put Warrior Hargraves, Luke Keary and Jake Friend back in that Roosters side at the right end of the season, and I think we might see a grand final very worthy of watching. I don't know if there's any more improvement in the Storm. The jury's still out for me on Brody Cross as a halfback that can win you a competition. The Roosters are proven in that area. I think we learned again that Latrell Mitchell is not a 5'8".
Yes.
That he needs to play in his position as centre. I thought he went okay for the problems he's going through, and he'll bounce back in the weeks ahead.
I thought maybe Ryan Pappenhausen at fullback, Jerome Hughes at halfback.
I was thinking exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
I think that Hughes is a very special player, and the kid at fullback has got so much speed, and he's good in getting to the ball in the in-goal area as well. I like Pappenhausen.
Mm. What are the problems Latrell's going through?
Well, obviously, he just doesn't look himself. I think he's going through some pains in where he sees himself. What his, you know, he's been in Origin, he's out of Origin, his headlines, his managerial problems, his problems off the field that haven't been documented. But when a player that is from a country area, hot foots at home, every opportunity he gets, then he's having some establishing problems in the big city. And maybe that is what's a simple solution to what's happening to Luttrell. But the one thing you can say about Luttrell, he's in the best hands he could be. I think it's ludicrous to suggest that he may leave that club, which has been so good to him. And I think his parents would know that. And I don't think he'll be going anywhere. And I don't think that the suggestions that... I think it's been crazy this week in because Tom and Jake had great games, the Trbojevic's in Origin, suddenly they've, their contracts are being discussed because they come up on November the 1st. And sure, clubs are going to be talking to them. But the Bulldogs will be the last place they'd want to go. Suggestions that they want to go there to the Wooden Spooners, the Bulldogs, well, that certainly won't eventuate. Why the brothers would contemplate such a move is just stupid. For a start, if they wanted to leave, why would they go to the bottom place side when they could go to one of the clubs that have got a chance to win the comp? It's going to be a long time before the Bulldogs are challenging for a premiership on and off the field. They're a basket case at the moment. Who would want to go to Belmore? So, I don't think the Trbojevic's would be swapping Brookvale for Belmore anytime soon.
Dez did. Anyway.
Dez did.
Dez did.
And look what happened to him.
Yeah, well, he made two grand finals.
He made two grand finals and then was out of the game unwanted.
Yeah.
Until he was called back to the club that that he played for.
Daily Cherry Evans is on $1.3 million. What does that mean Tom Trbojevic is worth?
And Jake.
Well, I think they're both going to be in the million-dollar range. There's no doubt about that. But both the boys have invested well in properties. They live at home. They've got a young brother that's just signed a contract at the club. Jake and Tom Trbojevic are the heartbeat of the Sea Eagles for many years to come. And boys, they won't be going anywhere.
Jesus,
heard it here first.
Is there a fish and chip shop that could do a third party deal or something? They go down every Friday and get some takeaway. Is that how it could work?
Why would you want to drive from God's country via the railway line to Belmore? Please.
Dude, I tell you what, Bronte would be good, though. They'd like to live at Bronte, though, wouldn't they?
Oh, they probably would, but I don't think even the Roosters with their sombrero could fit them in.
Hang on, Cronk's retiring.
He's fishing.
By the way, let's just go back to Origin for a moment.
Yes.
What was the defining moment for both of you guys? Put your journalist hats on. What was the major question that should have been asked first up to Kevin Walters after that thrashing 38-6 by New South Wales in Perth? What was the first question?
Well, I'll jump in.
Yeah.
Yep.
Kevin Walters was saying about their attitude. My question would be, how can you not have your attitude and your focus entirely on game two, Zorb?
Yeah. What was yours, Jim?
It would be something about the coach whisperer, wouldn't it?
Yep, I would say, where does Bradley Charles sub sit with you after that?
Yeah.
I mean, why no one asked the question is beyond me. Well, I think it's because there's a love-in in the media at the moment that everybody works for virtually the same stables. So you don't really want to bag a teammate, but I thought it was pretty weak. There would have been someone there that's not in that system that should have asked the question. I know my old editor would have kicked my ample backside. old Con Simons would have said, listen, fella, there are questions you've got to ask.
You know what? It's a really interesting point you make, Zorba. You know what the big issue is? And look, I know Bradley Charles Stubbs. He doesn't give interviews to anyone. So every media outlet on the East Coast is chasing him for an interview. So they don't want to be the one that upsets him. And then he says, right, well, I'm not. When I do an interview, it's not going to be with you. They're all chasing him.
I can't understand why.
They are all chasing him. And I know that for a fact.
And so I'll put a question to you. If you were Kevvy Walters, What and can you make any changes for game three for Queensland?
Well, he's obviously got to look at the forward.
He needs to go forward, doesn't he?
Offhand Goway is back.
Yeah.
Offhand Goway is back, but gee, those Bronco forwards, I think they've been vastly overrated. Let's look at when you look at Queensland's problems, it walks hand in hand with what's going on at the Broncos.
Mm.
They're on 12 points.
Mm.
If the Panthers win today, they're 14th. They're ahead of the Titans and the Bulldogs.
Wow.
Mm. Now, who could conceivably say that was going to happen? No way in the world. They're they're lucky to be on 12 points. They're lucky in the games ahead. They've got 10 games ahead. They play the Bulldogs twice and the Titans once. So there's three games they can bank on. But they need to win just about every game from here on in. I don't think they've got the side to do it. And I think the biggest decision now facing Anthony Seibold is what does he do with Darius Boyd? Darius Boyd was like a turnstile at 5'8 last night against the Newcastle Knights. Newcastle toyed with Brisbane in the first half.
Yeah.
And a lot of the problems for the Broncos were coming from Darius's defence. They targeted him very closely. Young Sean O'Sullivan is not the answer at this stage of his career for the halfback spot, so they've got a problem there. Milford went fairly well at fullback, but does he leave him there? But the big question is, does he drop his captain? I don't think he will because of the problems they've got there, but boy, they've got some issues right now.
You can't move Milford for a week, move him back the following week. That doesn't work. That sounds like you're panicked.
Like panic, doesn't
it? Yeah, panic. What about 4 weeks back when Zorba and Upair said so confidently that the Broncos were certainties for the top eight and that other teams like the Eels and the West performing, you couldn't see how the Knights would be there at the end? How's that working out for you, experts? That's from Stu. I don't think we ever said it about the Knights. We did about the Broncos, though.
Well, I can't remember that.
But come on.
Going through those tests.
Mate, hang on. Just on that. Spud's donating his brain. That's the first time he's ever given anything away in his life.
Jeez. I don't think you need to be a neurosurgeon to work out what they're going to find out when they check Spud out. I mean, with what he's put his body through during his career, him and the Chief, I mean, I applaud what's going on in the game. I think it's fantastic. I think, you know, players from my era certainly should be more than a little concerned. I'm concerned in much Manly went through its golden era in the 70s with one of the nicest person you'd ever meet as the club doctor. But he was, a gynecologist. And how on earth, you know, players in that era, the doctors were just voluntary then.
Yeah.
And they did a great job with their experience in their own field. But, you know, we were lambs to the slaughter back then.
Yeah. Yeah,
we were lambs to the slaughter. How many times the smelling salts come out? Three times in a game.
I know. And you wouldn't think twice. You would not think twice about it.
You didn't want to go off.
No.
I refused to go off at the cricket ground. Ron Willey came to the sideline, tried to get me replaced in a semi-final. I told him if he'd come on, I'd job him. And I wouldn't go off.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I left my boots there. I knew I was going to get picked the next year.
That's right. Hey, Zorb, the Zapper is up. It's on the website, tab.com.au. It's under today's special. Now, the Zapper, what is it?
It's Panthers.
Yes.
Into the Sharks at the line.
Panthers plus 3.5.
Yep.
Into the Sharks minus 8.5. And that's been boosted up to $4 today, too. $4. You can find it under today's special, either on the app or on the website. I like it a lot, too. I like it a lot.
The Panthers, if they win today, they leapfrog the Broncos. They go into 13th place and the Broncos go to 14th. I don't think in the history of the Broncos they've been that far down.
It's an incredible fall from grace, especially given the talent that they have. That's the incredible thing. Zorb, we've got to fly.
Okay, get on, Ray. I'm on in for this weekend,
I'm already on, Zorba. I copped your tip, don't worry.
Manly, okay, Manly 13 plus.
We've got Manly. You tipped me to a boy that they go berserk. I didn't do that, but I'm on your zap. Good on you, Zorb.
Good on you, Zorb.
Okay, boys.
There he is, Zorba, with some startling revelations about the doctor at Manly in the 1970s. You might want to have your say on that. 13:53:53. Let's go to a break.
Lazarus, twice named New Zealand Horse of the Year. Lazarus, also named 3-year-old, 4-year-old and 5-year-old Pacer of the Year. Lazarus, an Australasian Grand Circuit champion for 2 years in a row. And at the time, as a precocious 2-year-old, Lazarus paced the fastest 2-year-old mile ever down under with a final quarter of 25-1. Lazarus, standing at Yuraby Stud in New South Wales.
Your next bet is as easy as 1-2-3 or 2-1-3 or 1-3-2 or 2-3-1. The tab's made 1-2-3 even easier with the new Trio. When you have a Trio, it doesn't matter what order your horse has finished. Simply pick the first three in any order to win. Plus, you can now see your approximate payout at the time you place your Trio bet online or via the Tab app. Try a Trio today and make 1-2-3 easier. Tab, who are you backing?
Available to STAB and New South Wales Tab customers only. Gamble responsibly.
Meet Tom. Tom owns a building company. Business is good, but he doesn't have the budget all the time for remedial management. Then, Tom found Cat Checkpoint, a remedial management system for builders and their subcontractors. With Cat Checkpoint, Tom's team can easily do inspections with minimal or no typing, monitor progress from the comfort of their desks, eliminate dots and endless lists, view subcontractor performance stats, and more, all for an affordable price.
Visit catcloud.biz for details.
Ribchester, the European champion miler 2 years running. Four fabulous Group 1 wins, including the Group 1 Queen Anne at Royal Ascot in record time.
Ribchester and William Buick are the Queen Anne winners.
Ribchester, a son of successful shuttle stallion Ifraj. Record-breaking form at a mile and free of Danehill and Danzig blood. For more information, visit darley.com.au.
Dreams coming strongly. Blue Point needs the line. Dream of Dreams didn't make it. Blue Point completes the double. Blue Point for James Dyer and Charlie Appleby. Got tight late on. Dream of Dreams both to make it very close.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Darren Beedman very shortly, but we've got our acts of courage, acts of bravery.
Are you going to read this out?
Yeah, I am. Just before we get to that, we've got this one from... we'll do that before we get to Darren. But this one on Twitter has been sent in by Sparty or Lenny. The biggest act of bravery goes to Ray and or Tanya every week. Working with your spouse is ludicrous / brave and frankly incongruous to social norms. I've been happily married 25 years, but HR would fairly be called within 6 minutes.
The bravery goes to Tanya, but it helps when... Never had an argument in five, six years.
There you go. Yeah, you and I haven't had an argument for a couple of weeks either. So anyway. Now, just before we go to Darren, we're talking about acts of courage. Craig Newitt and Damien Oliver riding on after tragically losing members of their family. Very, very courageous. Regards, Davo from Cooma.
Hard to top that.
Very much so.
We'll ask the great man himself about that. Darren Beedman's been good enough to join us. Darren, good morning. And, well, our talk topic today is about acts of courage in sport. And, well, that day when Media Puzzle won the Melbourne Cup for Damien Oliver, a week after he lost his brother Jason, that's pretty hard to beat, Daz, isn't it?
Certainly is, Ray. Having sort of something on your shoulders and in your heart and in your mind. Racing as a jockey, it's not only the skill of riding the horse, but it becomes a bit of a psychological thing as well. And you've got those thoughts running through your head. It'd be very tough and very, it just shows you, the strength of someone like Damien. He's been able to overcome a lot of, difficult circumstances in his career, and he's very resilient.
That's for sure.
Yeah. Which brings us very nicely to Rachel King, Darren. And I know you said some nice things about her yesterday. She was returning from injury herself, so not in a fall, but it certainly would play on her mind. What is it about Rachel that she's doing so well with Godolphin, away from Godolphin?
Yes, no, she's really, you know, gone to the next level, I think, as far as her ability goes and the way that, you know, she's able to match it with the boys in Sydney. It's probably one of the hardest ranks to be riding against when you've got the likes of Huey and Kieran and Tommy, and I've left out probably another five or six there, boys that, you know, are very competitive, and it's not easy, you know, for girls in the industry, but she's very determined, and but the thing about I like about Rachel is that she just goes about her business and doesn't get too flustered, and in a race, you know, she doesn't find too much trouble. She keeps her horses well balanced, and horses run for her.
Mm. And that was evident yesterday, wasn't it, Darren, on Galway? She timed that horse's finishing burst to perfection, the June Stakes. She gets those finishing sprints just right so often.
Yeah, she did. She's performed that on numerous occasions with Deprive, and I remember riding one of the first wins for us was on Asaurian at Warwick Farm one day, and she rode him from back in the field and weaved the passage, you know, through the runners, which is not an easy task with a car. It's a little bit different, but you're trying to work with the animal, and you know, even yesterday with Gulwar, like, he hasn't won for some time, so for her to bring him into the race at the prime time to give him the confidence, it was a great effort.
Yeah, and obviously the track conditions suited him nicely as well. Fourth run on the heavy, couple of wins, couple of seconds.
Yes, yeah, look, I think he ran third to Trekking in one of his first starts. Early doors. Like, he's always had good ability, but James has tracked him around over to Perth, and he was a bit unlucky over there. He drew a wide gate, and he's been up north, and he's been all over the countryside. So, it was really deserving for horse and rider.
Mm. Darren, I know you were at Rose Hill yesterday, and I did notice a two-year-old win at Newcastle, and I know it's difficult to get carried away provincial maiden form, but Lanagira, a horse who was stakes placed early in the season, he made a mess of him at Newcastle yesterday.
He did. Look, he's a very precocious horse and probably just wants to get on with the job a little bit too. He just needs retraining, I guess, in a sense. And James is, you know, and all the boys Dizzy at Crown, they've really tried to harness his enthusiasm. And sometimes that can happen when, you know, you sort of set him alight early as an early two-year-old back in the spring as a two-year-old. But yesterday, the sectionals that he's thinking, I know it was only over 900 metres, but I think he broke 33 for
32.91, Darren.
Yeah. So, you know, that sort of says something about his brilliance. And look, if we can manage that, and Keegan gave him a lovely ride yesterday in the sense that he was able just to not pressurise him too early and give him the constant confidence at the vital stage at the furlong when he had to find another gear when the other horse came at him, and he was strong on the line, which is encouraging for the future.
Mm. Hey, Darren, I know we've been amazed at the performances of the Godolphin, the Blue Army, over the course of the last season, which is just about finished. When does James and you and Vin sit down and do an assessment of the year and start planning about, you know, what becomes targets for next year?
Oh, that happens every week.
Well, I was going to say, I'm sure it doesn't happen. Righto, we'll catch up for a coffee Tuesday at about 12.
Yeah, we'll have a latte down at 12.
That's it.
And, we'll just do an overall, you know, look at the season and see where we go next season.
But the thing about it is, Darren, because you're so invested in it now, you need to have that ability to step back and have a look at it from a big picture point of view.
Well, we get monthly reports through, like, it's, as you understand, it's a massive operation, and, you know, Vin does a monthly report every month and just, you know, highlights certain things within the company, in whether it be, you know, racing, breeding, you know, when they're selling the horses as well.
Sure.
I think, like, we're up to, I think it's about 57 stakes winners this season, 9 Group 1s. I think we're getting close to $30 million in prize money. So look, it's been a tremendous job. You know, it's a big wheel with a lot of cogs, and you know, the horses are back in training now for the spring. So, you know, James is obviously, he's got a short-term plan and a long-range plan for these type of horses, you know, to see them reach their heights.
Darren, just if you can, Osborne Bulls, is he back in work now, and is he likely to be the stable's big hope for the Everest again?
Yeah, well, he's obviously, you know, and you've got Trekking as well.
Oh, yeah, Stradbroke winning,
and,
yeah.
And you've got Elise.
Yeah.
Like, I think 1,200 at Randwick's just ideal for her. So Avilius, he's back in work. You know, he's apparently, he's in Hartnell. He's been one of our great
warriors yeah.
over the last few years, 4 or 5 years. So look, but the thing about, you know, the horses that they haven't had a taxing time in training, so there's plenty of meat on the bone for down the track.
Just amazing, Darren. As always, good with your time. We do appreciate it, and thanks for joining us. No doubt we'll speak again very shortly.
Good. Thanks, fellas.
Darren
Biedman there, champion jockey now. What's his official title at Godolphin?
I would say stable rep. But
stable representative.
Right, he's right next to James. He's heavily invested in the stable. It looks after primarily a lot of the two-year-olds at Crown Lodge at Warwick Farm. So, and they've had an extraordinary season, as you know, Jim.
Amazing. We've got a lot of SMS about the Manly Doctor. Obviously, none of them we can read. Acts of Courage. Any batsmen facing the West Indies fast bowlers in the 70s and the 80s? That's from Steve. That's a very good one. Let's go.
The great AB used to stand up and,
of course he did,
hold the fort.
I told you about when the great Malcolm Marshall played grade cricket for the Waverley Club that then became the Eastern Suburbs Club in 1990-91. And, you know, what a coup it was for the club to have him. They won the premiership that year, which is probably no surprise.
One of the all-time greats. Averaged about 20 in Test cricket.
Incredible. His strike rate, just amazing. But the two wickets that they used to, he said, the two wickets they valued above all else.
Mm.
Javed Mandat.
Fair enough.
And Alan
AB,
Border.
Yeah.
Javed Mandat and Alan Border. 1353-53, the open line number. Ron is on the line. G'day, Ronnie.
Hey, Ray, Jimmy, how are you?
Hey, good morning, Ron.
Happy birthday, Ron.
Oh, another one. Thank you.
Yeah. Well
I'll
done.
Tell you what, coming in after Daz of Beeb, that's quite an honour.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, Zach did that once, and then he flogged him. But anyway, that's another story. Acts of Courage.
Yes.
Yeah.
I reckon the Melbourne Storm coming out in the second half to face a 40-zip flogging by Manly. They should have all got a medal for that.
That was a Cameron Smith less Melbourne Storm, wasn't it?
Yes.
He lost. He got judiciary rubbed out that.
Oh, league, yeah, that would have completely changed the score on that, Ray.
Oh.
absolutely. Probably would have been 35 blocks.
Yeah, could have been. Could have been.
Hey,
late field
one.
Goal.
Yeah, absolutely. There was another one that was in the 60s. It was an English guy. Now, look, it was either Prescott or a name like that. He broke his arm.
Alan Prescott.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had an SMS earlier.
Oh, did that?
Yeah.
Oh, I was driving out to the Mihai River to go fishing, so I missed him. But that was unreal. I mean, just to see that arm just dangling. And
he played on, didn't he? No replacements back then, was he?
Didn't Clive Churchill kick a goal from the sideline with a broken arm?
He did. And that was to keep South in the run
waters.
They had to win every game. They went right through and won the premiership.
They were last at the halfway point of the year.
Had to win 10 or 12 in a row or something.
Yeah, and he kicked a goal from the sideline with a broken arm.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ronnie. Appreciate that. 1353-53. Dennis is on the line. Hey, Den.
Hello, mate. I got two things. Isn't it great to listen to an ambassador like Darren Biedman?
Yeah, no, he's a star, Dennis,
mate,
for sure.
He can ride, and just listening to him, the way he spoke about the horses, the trainers, the stable head, everything, it was enlightening listening to him.
Yeah, I get that opportunity most weeks, Dennis,
mate,
and I never take it for granted.
You.
Dennis, I'm not sure where you were going with that one. Certainly didn't make much sense to me. That's
just
not
been told,
a,
Darren's official title assistant trainer. There you go.
Officially assistant trainer. There you go.
And this is from Tom. Jimmy and Ray, you were talking earlier about how many times Craig Bellamy has coached Melbourne to the minor premiership. He's done it 6 times in 16 seasons before this year. 2006, 7, 8, 11, 2016 and 17. And Trent Robinson has coached Roosters to the minor premiership 4 times in 6 seasons. So they have dominated, haven't they, those two coaches? They're amazing.
Didn't one of those minor premierships get stripped? I think the 2007 one was stripped.
Yep, fair enough.
I'm pretty sure. Or maybe the 8 one as well.
And can I just mention Michelle from Dubbo?
Yes.
I do like to. Good morning, Michelle. As an aside, act of bravery would be James Smith sitting down to order a hearty steak at...
Where?
At Wellington's Cow and Calf.
That's still there, is it?
That's fantastic establishment.
Thank you, Michelle. Bob's on the line. G'day, Bob.
Morning, fellas. Just on bravery, Linda Meach. She came back to riding this week, and she's come back really quietly. She's only had 7 winners and 5 placings from a broken collarbone. I think that's incredible. And it's just, on that match last night of Parramatta, a player got a really bad head knock. It hit the ground really hard. He got up, faced the wrong way and played the ball.
Brad Tucker.
Trainer ran alongside him, didn't do the HIA test, and just gave the thumbs up. He eventually was taken off after the doctors viewed it, but... Why wasn't he stopped, gone through that whole test before he was allowed to continue? Because they played 2 rucks.
Played 2 sets, almost another set of 6.
Didn't see the incident because I had a function on last night, Bob. But
played totally sideways and played the ball over the sideline.
I think Marty Bella did that. Did he play the ball the wrong way one time?
He did.
In a State of Origin game?
Complete other way around, didn't he?
Yeah.
But he was okay, though. He wasn't knocked out.
You could argue, yeah. anyway, I didn't see that one, but...
It was pretty bad.
I think there's obvious ones where they go, right, get them off. But then there's the less obvious ones where the sideline bunker, for want of a better term, the NRL have set
have
up where the doctors have a look at it and they go, right, yeah, better get him off.
Which they did.
Yeah. 1353 53 is the open line number. We're going to take a break. Now, going into this break, time to call for the Event Cinemas quiz. Mm-hmm. Double pass. We've got a double pass to give away, so... that's all courtesy of Prakash and the team there. So make sure you call now. Just a score update. Ray's on 13. I'm on 12. And we're fast approaching the halfway mark of this Event Cinemas quiz. Call now. 1353 53.
What are we needy? Here's what one of the USA's leading drivers, Jody Jameson, had to say about him after he retired as the fastest horse on the planet.
Warrawee Needy was one of the best horses I ever drove, bar none. Some of the fastest quarters a horse has ever paced. Warrawee Needy paced those quarters. He's come quarters in 25 seconds. Tall, beautiful horse, clean-legged, powerful, powerful strides, and an amazing brain, which is very important when you're racing in Australasia. Just an amazing animal, and I'm sure he'll do wonders here down under.
Wideline Windows and Doors can help make your next build or home reno a success. Drop into any showroom and check out their extensive range of quality aluminium and timber designs, all backed by a 7-year guarantee. Any size, any shape, any space. Wideline's experts will help create the perfect frame for your view. There's never been a better time to take a closer look at Wideline Windows and Doors. Showrooms open at Port Macquarie, Broadmeadow, Tuggera, Rosebery and coming soon to Liverpool.
It's Tabs. Who are you backing? The betting game show that's nowhere near as exciting as a same game multi. Now, a same game multi lets you combine bets like head to head with first try scorer and total points. You can even combine your same game multi with a racing single. This game show, on the other hand, is just me and Tony. Tell us what you did on the weekend, Tony.
Well, funny.
Oh, that's exciting, but not as exciting as the same game multi from Tab. Who are you backing?
Available online to New South Wales, Vic and ACT account holders only. Gamble responsibly.
Ribchester, the European champion miler twice and 4-time Group 1 winner, including the Group 1 Queen Anne at Royal Ascot in record time. Ribchester, a son of successful shuttle stallion Ifraj, with record-breaking form at a mile. Free of Danehill and Danzig blood, a great outcross for the many Danehill line mares in this country. Mares by Exceed and Excel, Snitzel, Not a Single Doubt, and many others. For more information, visit darley.com.au.
Right, Drummond to King. What should be the last drum of the game?
Nice.
Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. And James, I just wanted to read out a tweet, our talk topic before we go into the cinemas quiz. This is from Conzi. Personally, I think the biggest act of bravery goes to Jimmy Smith's accountant, who has to try and battle through Jim's 10 or more group certificates each financial year.
Good work, Harry.
You working this afternoon?
Harry Edwards. I might have a run around this
Rival
afternoon.
Rival radio station.
Event Cinema's newest luxury experience, Ray, Event Boutique, is now open, a intimate cinema with a boutique vibe. The designer recliners. That's hard to say, isn't it?
Designer recliners.
The best cinema sound and picture service at your seat, coupled with a bespoke menu curated in collaboration with Fix Meats and Sonoma Bakery. Immerse in a designer experience this weekend and enjoy an incredible lineup of films, including Elton John's musical biopic Rocket Man and the Beatles-inspired rock and roll comedy Yesterday. Head on over to eventcinemas.com.au to grab your tickets now.
Saw Rocket Man.
How was it?
Yeah, it was. It's nothing like Bohemian Rhapsody.
It suggests it's not as good.
Well, probably not quite as good, but still, if you love Elton John, it's a very interesting movie.
You lead by one, so that means you can be player one.
Okay, I knew you'd throw that curveball at me. Wayne's on the line. Wayne, good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
Terrific, mate. You're set to go, mate?
Yeah, I guess so.
How's the confidence level?
Average.
Okay, here we go.
Good.
Question number one. Which number one ranked former cricketer did Aaron Finch invite to Lords to watch the Aussies beat England? Which number one ranked former cricketer did Aaron Finch invite to Lords to watch the Aussies beat England in the World Cup last week?
Oh, jeez. Oh, I didn't know Ashley Barty was the tennis player, but not. I'm gone.
You've got to give the guy that.
Anyone who doesn't believe me and that this is a conspiracy against
me,
I rest my case.
Not casting
the defence rests.
Not casting aspersions upon our boss, producer Steve, but the question was, it's difficultly framed. Which number one ranked cricketer?
Now you're bagging Steve.
I'm not casting aspersions.
Steve.
We should have been which number one ranked sports person who was a former cricketer. I think Wayne deserves it. What do you reckon, Wayne?
Yeah.
Oh, please. You've asked Wayne.
So what, Tanya, you're always impartial. Tanya, no, thumbs up.
Tanya's got the double thumbs up. Panel operator Hamish has given it the tick, and Steve couldn't believe that we didn't accept that. Oh, and people say, why do you think they're all against you?
Hey, Wayne, geez, a hard man to work with. You've got no idea, Wayne. Here we go. Question number two. You want to roll here, mate?
Oh, yeah, bro. Fair dinkum. Hard to beat from here. Yeah.
How many New South Wales Blues players have scored more points in this year's State of Origin series than any Maroons players? A multiple choice question. A, is it 2? B, 3? C, 4?
Oh, it has to be 3.
When in doubt, go B.
That'll do me.
Wayne, here we go. Clean sweep here, Wayne.
I don't know why I even turn up every week.
He'll be blue in for next week here, Wayne, if we win this. Here we go. Question number 3. Which sports star released the autobiography No Spin in 2018? A, was it Shane Warne? B, Rafael Nadal? Or C, Anil Kumble?
Anil Kumble.
Oh, Shane Warne.
Pretty much sums up everything there with Wayne.
Beating him.
Anil Kumble didn't spin one in a decade.
Didn't he take 18 or something in a test match once? He took 10
for
once.
Yeah, he got 10 for.
Could bowl.
Anyway, thanks, Wayne, for that. Joel.
Yep.
Mate, I'm sorry to say it, mate. We are destined to lose this because the world is against us. But anyway, let's be brave.
Joel, don't listen to him. Joel, best of luck.
Here we go. An act of courage from you here today. Question one. Who did the cricket experts say bowled the ball of the tournament to dismiss Ben Stokes last week in the Cricket World Cup?
Mitchell Stark.
Well done,
Wasn't
sir. Well done, sir. Dare to dream here.
Wasn't
Question two.
Peach.
How many Blues and Maroons have played every minute of every game in this year's State of Origin series? Is it A, 13, B, 15, or C, 17?
13.
Oh, here we go. Joel's on a roll.
Joel.
Here we go.
You are teasing me right now. Question three. Which sports star released the autobiography Underneath the Southern Cross? in 2013? Was it A, Adam Gilchrist, B, Alan Border, or C, Michael Hussey?
Michael Hussey.
Oh, Joel.
Joel. Courage alone can get you a long way.
That was brilliant.
And well, you, sir, have done superbly. Where are you from, Joel?
Alexandra Hills in Brisbane.
In Brisbane?
There we go.
Do you have event cinemas up there?
Yeah, there's one down the road at Catalaba, I think.
Oh, terrific.
Perfect, perfect. We'll send you out a double pass courtesy of Prakash and the team of event cinemas down here in Sydney. And, mate, you'll enjoy going to the movies on the back of what has arguably been the most courageous thing I have seen and or heard.
In morning radio. And
in morning radio. Fantastic, Joel. Stay on the line, mate. Stay on the line. We've got to get you
there. How about that?
Look at you. Have a look at you.
I'm stunned.
Oh, stunned. There's other words to describe the way
you... Wayne was home.
I can't believe it. How... The rumour coming through from the boys and girls at TAB is that
the fix was on.
The fix was in, and that they'd shut all markets. They'd shut all markets a long, long time
your
ago.
Your betting was suspended before we started the show.
Oh, yeah. Actually, let's ask Gerard Daffy, because he's got his finger on the pulse of these sort of things. And
good just man, Gerard.
I think what happens with these situations is there's a lot of money goes on one result, and they say, oh, hang on, alarm bells, and then they have a look, oh, Ray's back, Tanya's back, Steve's there, Hamish is there.
You read too much into this.
He's been isolated again, Smith. Gerard, am I
he's
near the mark?
Paranoia is running right, Gerard, seriously.
Morning, boys. Well, let me tell you that there will be a press release going out at noon today.
Yes.
In a world first, Sky Sports Radio will now have an integrity division. That was extremely dodgy, Raymond.
Just for this show, you reckon, Gerard?
Not for the show, for a segment.
Hey, Act of Bravery, I've got one coming up Thursday this week. Can he do it? Can Joey Chestnut do it? Break the world record in the hot dog eating contest.
Yeah.
Actually, you can bet on this through New South Wales TAB. He's $1.12 to win for a 12th time. That's like picking up money off the ground. But can he break the record of 74 hot dogs last year? And the market is over and under 75.5 hot dogs in a 10-minute period. If you don't mind.
What's the time frame? Yeah. 10 minutes.
Have you seen the TV show they put together for that?
Yeah, I've seen it.
It is absolutely brilliant, as only the Americans can. The ground announcer is more like Michael Buffer than Michael Buffer.
<Is he? laughs>
He's absolutely fantastic.
So there's a market on that. There's a market on who wins the women's title. Mickey Sudo, well, she's completely dominated. She's won the last five of these.
Great eater.
But a lower total, Jimmy, over and under 39.5 dogs. I think she won it with 37 last year. So, but it's Thursday.
Hasn't women's sport come a long way? It's fantastic.
Well, it has. And you know, those markets weren't recognised before. But, you know, they're on level pegging now with things like basketball and cricket and soccer. So that's good.
No, it's fantastic. National Rugby League, there's a couple of games that are remaining for round 15.
There is. The Warriors are first up today, $1.60 to beat Penrith at $2.40, a line there of 3.5 points. And understandably, punters a little bit nervous about that $1.60, the Warriors. They don't like backing them when they're favourites. And in the second game, we've got the Bulldogs at $3.30, Cronulla 135, a line there of 8.5 points. And Origin will... are getting shorter and shorter. New South Wales are $1.42 now. I think they opened at $1.55.
Yeah, they did. They did.
$2.90 for Queensland, a line there of 5.5 points, and that minus is into 180. So we'll see who they name in the sides, but I think it's going to be all one-way traffic there.
Who are you going for now?
I've always loved New South Wales.
He has had three different teams for three different games this year.
He just goes with the momentum.
Best. You're the best.
I learn from the best.
Hey, three games left in this weekend's round of AFL, Gerard, but all eyes are on the Fremantle-Carlton clash.
Yeah, they are.
Are they?
Well, only thing that gives us a hope today, Ray, is these upsets. I've never seen a season like it, and we saw a couple
of
big ones
Melbourne
again.
North Melbourne last night.
Yeah, haven't they turned the corner? Mm. Anyway, we're $5.20 to win today. I think we're up against it. $1.16 Frio, a line there of 33.5 points. The first two games, St Kilda 3.30, Richmond 1.33, that line 20.5. And Brisbane v Melbourne, this is an interesting clash in Brisbane. We've got the Lions here, $1.52, Melbourne at $2.55, and a line there of 12.5 points.
And, mate, what about Cricket World Cup winner at this point, given what we've seen with the performance of England, and they're under a bit of pressure now to make the semi-finals?
$3 India and Australia, $5.50 England, and, well, first of all, they've got to win tonight. They're $1.94 to win tonight against India at $1.90, and then out to $8 for the Kiwis and $9 and Pakistan still in there at $10. But Australia and India dominate that market now.
Yeah, must-win game for England tonight. Pakistan have leapfrog them into the top four at the moment, England with that game in hand. Women's World Cup, we haven't mentioned that Sweden has beaten Germany this morning 2-1.
That was a shock because Germany were a short price favourite and they did actually lead, but Sweden have come from behind. Now, we don't have that other semi-final up at the moment, boys, but we do have the England v USA one open, which is Wednesday morning. England $4, draw $3.30, and my girls, the USA, $1.90.
Why are they your girls?
Just because they won the last one, and they'll win this one.
That's right. What about Megan Rapinoe? Did you see that someone put on Twitter the week that she had? Scored two goals against Spain in the quarterfinal. Stood up to Donald Trump, said wouldn't turn up at the White House, put all this pressure on herself, scored two goals against France.
Correct, yeah.
Goes good.
Not a bad week.
Jeremy, are you betting on the Copa America?
We are, right? We've been betting on that, on those matches all the way through. I think there's a few about to get underway.
Why is that, Ray? Just out of interest.
Brazil, man.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think they'll be hard to beat. Wednesday, $1.90, draw $3.20, Argentina $4.20.
And, Jared, about this time next week, we'll ask you about another obscure sporting event that Ray will just want to keep you on your toes, okay?
Aren't you interested in that?